الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا ورسولنا وكريمنا وعزيزنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولكل أمة جعلنا منسكا هم ناسكوه. وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر: قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا. وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite and abundant praise, complete glory and perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, our Creator, our Protector, our Guide. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble, beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his purified and noble family, and upon the illustrious and beautiful companions, and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam. My respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, youngsters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon you all on this sacred day and blessed day of Jumu'ah. And may this become a means for your protection, for your pardon, for your forgiveness, for your success and salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Ameen. Over the last two Jumu'ah, we began our journey understanding the unity that we have in all of the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the unity of Tawheed, the unity of monotheism, and how their message at its core was the exact same message to bring their people, to bring their flock, to bring their communities to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the recognition and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their delivery may have been slightly different and variant depending on the language and the culture of the time. Nevertheless, their core message and the objective and the goal was the same. And all of the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are brothers in faith. And then we talked about the great Sayyida Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. May Allah ta'ala have peace and blessings upon her. Alayha salam. How she, the Virgin Mary, was a great waliullah, a great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through her worship, her sacrifice and her patience and her perseverance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her with so many karamat and enabled her to become the mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the miraculous virgin birth. And we talked about how we hold her in high esteem and honor and reverence, and how she is a role model for us, for our children, for our daughters and our mothers, rather than the role models of the dunya, the role models of celebrities, the role models that we see around us who are just there for the outer. This was for the inner beauty of our daughters and our sisters, and somebody that we need to look up to. And we talked about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam saying she is one of the leaders from amongst other four women in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. And today, inshallah al-Aziz, we talk about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the journey of all of the prophets going to Sayyida Maryam and going to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, because this is the month of December, and it's not something that we can deny or evade or ignore. It's all around us, from your community, from your schools and colleges and workplaces. You see the Christmas trees, you see the Christmas lights, and you see the festivities all around us. So then how do we engage with this, and how do we understand this? Well, Christmas is just one holiday of many. In the UK, there's Christmas, there's Easter, there's many, many other holidays. And if you look throughout the world, there are hundreds and thousands of holidays for each culture and for each particular religion. So the question for our youngsters is, because sometimes they say to me or to even to their parents, well, mom, dad, why can't we have a Christmas tree? It's just a tree in the house. We have plants, why can't we have a Christmas tree? Why can't we just have lights? It's just lights in the house. It doesn't really make a difference. Well, if you're going to assimilate and accept and adopt this particular festival or religious rite, then why not all the other religions and festivities throughout the world? There's St. Lucia Day, there's a Passover, there's the Obon, there's the Posada, there's the Hanukkah, there's the Easter, there's the Diwali, there's the Sundance, there's all these festivals I can't even pronounce properly. There's Nowruz, there's Holi, then Hanamasturo, there's Matariki, Halloween. So many where they are worshipping the sun, they are worshipping Satan, they are worshipping other idols and statues and objects. So if you're going to take a little bit of Christmas and a little bit of Easter, then you may as well take a little bit of Holi and a little bit of Diwali and a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and up and up the Bira Gharkar, as they say, then just lose everything. So we can't do this, and this is not what we do, and this is not who Muslims are. So we don't just pick and choose from other places just to fit in, just to feel like we belong. We belong to our ummah. We have our core identity. We belong to the message of Islam. We belong to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds you and me and our children till the end of time that for every single nation, وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, that for every single nation, they have their own direction, i.e. they have their own festivities, they have their own rites, they have their own religious activities that they do, they have their own way that they pray and they do their things. Let them do their thing. Let them enjoy their festivities, let them behave and live their life in accordance to their method. This is for them. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ, for them is their religion and their path and their way and their method and their way of life, and for you is your own distinct way, the way of the sunnah, the way of the sahaba, the way of the salihin, the way of the sahaba ikram, the way of the anbiya. This is our way, the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not the way of other religions, not the way of other cultures, not the way of other societies. We have our own. Fajr, Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. We have our Hajj, we have our Ramadan, we have our Sawm, we have our Zakat, we have all of the things. We have our festivities that we need to hold on to and we need to direct ourselves towards. In other verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and every people, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ جَعَلْنَا مَنْ سَكَنْهُمْ نَاسِكُوا, that every single people, every single ummah, every single nation has its own festivals. And this is our festival. Our festival is the festival of Eid al-Adha. Our festival is the festival of Eid al-Fitr. We have other days that we remember, Mi'raj, Isra, and Mi'raj, and Muharram, and the month of Rajab, and we have Ramadan, and we have the birth of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have our festivals. We have our identity. We have our things. This is who we are. We don't need to be anybody else. And this is a very important message for our parents. You know, when you bring up a child at your home, you don't say, this is my son, and then a year later you say, this is my daughter. No, your son is your son. You don't change your son into a daughter. You don't dress your son for 5 years, and then 6 years you say, no, I'm going to dress you like a girl now. You don't say, oh, now you're not a boy or a girl, now you're something else. You don't say, I'm today your father, and then next year you say, no, I'm your mother. You don't confuse your children, you don't confuse their identity, you don't confuse what they believe. You keep that core identity with them at all times. So why do you allow your children to confuse their religious identity, their deen, their aqidah, their belief on who they are and what they believe and how they practice and the festivals that they follow? Why do you allow that to happen? As they say, oh, it's only a little bit of fun, it's only a little bit of lights and Christmas. No, it's not. If you will not say to your child that he is a son and the next year he is a daughter, or I am your father this year and the next year you say I am your mother, or you're non-binary and today you can behave like this and tomorrow you can be like an animal, you won't say that. You won't let them believe that, because you need them to be stable and sound. Otherwise you will destroy your own children by your inefficiency in telling them who they are. So Jews have their festivals. Christians have their festival. That is for them. That is for them. That is their way of life. Allow them to express and celebrate. We have our Qibla. We have our prayers. We have our festivals. And this is who we are. We celebrate the way we are told. Yes, we have a deep and intimate connection with Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. A spiritual connection with Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, because there is no other prophet between Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. A very intimate and close and personal connection with the life of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Same with his moral, his codes, his values and his ethics. They mirror so much that of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in terms of his compassion and love and mercy and kindness and his inkisari, as they say, his humbleness and submissiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also have a very deep and meaningful connection to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, because without him the end of times cannot conclude. He will come towards the end of time. He will be there to kill Dajjal. He will be there to help spread Islam and practice Islam. He will be there towards the end of time. Before that, nothing else can happen. So we have a connection before the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam arrived. We have a connection with him during his life. We have a connection with him towards the end of time. But we remember him and we recall him and we honor him and revere him the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do, by saying, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيًّا ذَلِكَ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ قول الحق الذي فيه يمترون. That indeed he is the servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we remember him and honor him as a servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We remember him and honor him as being given revelation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being made a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he was blessed wherever he went, that he established the prayer and he gave charity, and he made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him kind and dutiful and merciful towards his mother, a lovely individual. This is how we remember him, not by Christmas trees and lights and ho 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 and presents and all of these other things. This is not how we remember the birth of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, because they remember the birth of the Son of God. No, we remember the birth of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very, very different thing. And we send peace and blessings upon him the day that he was born, the day that he was taken to, raised into the heavens, and the day that he will return, and then also the day that he will pass on and return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is ذَلِكَ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمُ. That is the true Isa alayhi salam, the son of Maryam, the word of truth which they all dispute about. We don't have any disputes about Isa alayhi salam, about his identity. We know exactly who he was, and we should know exactly who we are as Muslims and how we follow him. So holidays, this is what we're doing now, we're celebrating now. But holidays in actuality are actually called holy days. Holy days where you remember the reality of these incidents. Where you think for a moment and you pause and you stop and you reflect. And you use this time to recognize who you truly are. And this is something that we need to ask ourselves. Who are you as Muslims? What is your identity? And how much are we losing ourselves? So Christmas commemorates the birth of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. We as Muslims, we live in the West, but we find ourselves surrounded by a culture of integration. That do this, be part and parcel of this very society of capitalism, of secularism, of the way that we behave and think, and the way that we enjoy our festivities. Accept everything of who we are and our culture, and assimilate, which basically means lose yourself and your identity and whatever you believe, and just be like us, behave like us, dress like us, think like us, celebrate like us. But the question that you need to ask yourselves and your children need to ask, that how much of this are you willing to accept and adopt and practice? If you give your children an inch, they will take you for a mile. Your children today, they will just say, oh, it's an innocent tree. And over centuries and years on, you will lose your children and you lose their iman. So ask yourselves, who are you now? What is your religious identity? What is your cultural identity? And what will you become? I just want to give a very, very graphic example at the end before I conclude today's speech. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us very, very differently. We are as we are as humans. We have certain ways that you can recognize immediately that this is a human. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this particular face. But imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us one eye of a toad and one eye of a crocodile. How would we look? Would you think, oh, it's okay, I'll take a bit of a crocodile, I'll take a bit of a tadpole, or take a bit of a frog, and then I'll make this human. Or I'll take the nose of a horse, and then I'll make this into a human. I'll take the face of a shark, and the mouth of a shark, and I'll say, okay, now I'm making this into an insan. I'll take the ears of an elephant, and I'll say, this is an insan. I'll take the horns of a gazelle, and I'll say, oh, this is an insan. If you looked at that picture right now, would you say this is a human being? Would you be able to recognize that this is a human being? You say, what are you doing? How can this be a human being? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made animals and their kingdom in a distinct manner. Plants, the environment in a distinct manner. Humans in a distinct manner. Animals don't mix and match their features with humans. The plant life, wildlife doesn't mix and match with humans. We have our features and we are distinct. The way we are, the way that we have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if none of this makes sense and we wouldn't accept this and do this to ourselves or our children and do all this plastic surgery on them, then why do we mix and match our religion, our aqidah, our belief, our practices, our actions and say, take a bit of this and a bit of that, practices, it's okay, mix and match and do that. No, this is not who we are. So we need to be very, very careful in the times that we are living in. We need to stop and think about the time that we are in before it is too late. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to understand this journey that we have been on about the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about Sayyidah Maryam and her great status, and how Isa alayhi salam is recognized by us, and how we honor and respect him and revere him, and how we need to maintain our religious core identity internally and externally, and not take on all of these other things that are around us. They have their way, they have their festivities, we have our way, and we need to keep true to our identity. وَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ. Today, inshallah, Al-Aziz, our very student, Hafiz Muhammad Zavia, inshallah, will also be doing a speech. It's important that we encourage our students and we give them the opportunity, just like to lead Taraweeh, to manage the classrooms and the classes and also other things. Inshallah, today we'll be giving him an opportunity to do share with you a few words. And hopefully this will encourage you and your children to also be ready to come and lead and take the leadership, inshallah. Jazakallah.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين السلام عليكم respected elders, brothers and sisters. Inshallah, today I'll be talking briefly about time. I'll start with the definition of time, just a basic one. Time is the definition of being the measurable period where an action takes place. As people living in the 21st century, the age of globalization, where you can have anything you want, we tend to procrastinate a lot and we generally lack patience. This procrastination and lack of patience comes from the fact that we can have anything we want instantly. And this procrastination also makes us regularly say things like, if only I had more time to do X and X, such as study, when really we had months, you knew about the deadline beforehand. Or complaining that the day is not long enough because really we didn't utilize the 3 hours that we had. The Arabs of the Prophet's time, they used to curse time itself in these such events. But Allah says, I am time. Moreover, in another hadith, it is said that, لَا تَسُبُّ الدَّهْرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الدَّهْرُ, that do not curse time, for verily Allah is time. Ad-dahr meaning in Arabic, the currents of time, or time as a concept itself. And he is in control of all these events of time. The fact that he is time, it doesn't mean that he is time itself, but that he created it. He says, يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ وَيُكَوِّرُ النَّهَارَ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرِ كُلُّ يَجْرِي لِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. that he turns night to day and day to night and causes the sun and moon to orbit for their decreed periods. Even though Allah has created time, and it's his creation, he still swears by it, which shows its magnitude and importance. He says, وَالْعَصُرْ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسُرْ, that by the time, verily, man is in loss. The question is, why is man in loss? It's because he doesn't appreciate time, the one thing which, when lost, can never be retrieved. As we grow older, time seems to go quicker, and we don't realize until it's too late. Allah says, فَيَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, that it will come whilst you don't even perceive. How many of us come home from our daily commute, be it school, college, or work, and instead of doing some dhikr, we just sit on Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat, or we watch TV or films or any other entertainment source? How many of us wake up in the morning for Fajr whilst it's calling and we think, I'll pray it soon, but then you end up waking late ultimately? Do any of us recognize that one day we won't wake up at all? How many of us only pray Fajr because by chance we woke up at the right time? Or during those long nights where you can't sleep, you go on your phone and you pull out something long, like a long YouTube video to put you to bed. But the reality is, this time is a blessing in disguise from Allah for you to get up and increase in your ibadah. As the Adhan says, As-salatu khayrun minan nawm, that prayer is better than sleep. Allah continues on to say, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, except those who do good pious actions and urge upon the truth and patience. The reason man loses is because he wastes his finite time on the dunya chasing pleasures. But the time we spend for dhikr and acts of worship is never wasted. These deeds are recorded with the one who made time, lasting in a plane where time will never end with one who never forgets. Prophet Musa said, لا يضل ربي ولا ينسى, that my Lord does not err nor does he forget. But the things we do for the dunya, chasing money, collecting possessions, driving expensive cars, etc., they all stay here when we're gone. They are of no avail. As it says in Surah Al-Haqqa, مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَ هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَ, that my wealth has not availed me at all and my power is completely gone. Allah also says, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا أَجَرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, that whatever we have will perish, and whatever is with Allah is everlasting, and Allah will surely compensate those who endured during this world by the best of what they used to do, i.e. all the good acts for the sake of Allah that they did during their time here. Now, time is the most precious thing that we have. The most precious thing a friend can give another is not a gift, but their time. Gifts and other things alike will fade, but the memory of the time they gave you will always stick. Similarly, a parent's time to their child is the most valuable to their development. Without it, the child is lost. The child can't raise itself. Also similarly, the most precious thing we can give to Allah is our time. Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُم مِّن رِزْكِ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَن يُطْعِمُونَ, that our purpose in creation is to worship Allah. He doesn't require sustenance or anything else from us, so he must only just require our time. And how little does he ask of us? The least we have to do is 5 prayers and 1 wudu, if you can be bothered to hold it, all which combine to at most an hour a day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read an entire juz in one salah, yet we barely read qul huwallahu ahad in a single rak'ah. We just think, I need to pray quickly, let's get it over and done with. Yet still, even with all our great technology, we turn up to the masajid late despite our cars. We don't know when prayer times are despite the internet, and some of us don't even know the Arabic alphabet to be able to read the Quran. The time we have in this world is limited, yes, but we can still do a lot with it. As some of you know, I was able to complete Hifz in a very short period of time whilst being in the final year of high school because I recognized that I had a consistent block of free time, free being the key operator. Because of that, I was able to learn a new language in the same time frame as well. The point being that our minds are capable of a lot more than we give them credit for. Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, I dislike that a man is free and not preoccupied by the matter of his religion or by the matter of his worldly life. He disliked this because the two things man incurs loss on is health and free time. The Sahaba, who had no cars or telecommunications or anything, were able to maximize their time doing acts of worship. Acts of worship are anything good done for the sake of Allah, even if it's just a smile. But that was the Sahaba, the best of the Muslims. What do we do in our time? Well, some of us will just sit for hours on our phones and games, wasting our time away whilst the Qiyamah approaches. And when it does, no slave of Allah will move until he is asked about four things. Among those things are, how did you use your time? The hadith says, the feet of a slave will not move on the Day of Judgment until he has been questioned about four things. His life, how he spent it, his youth, how he consumed it, his wealth from where he earned it and how he spent it, and his knowledge, how he acted upon it. We're also warned of how close this time is coming. The hadith also says, the hour will not begin until time passes quickly, so that a year will be like a month, and a month will be like a week will be like a day will be like an hour. The Quran also says in Surah Al-Anbiya, that اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ, that closer and closer does that final time approach, yet we remain heedless and we still turn away. How many of us have ever thought, I'll just do Hajj next year, I'll start afresh after that, or I'll start praying tomorrow? But none of that is guaranteed, so the best thing to do would be start now and don't waste the time you've been given. Allah even warns us that this is coming. The very first ayah of Surah Al-Hajj, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ, that, O man, fear your Lord, verily the shaking of the hour is a severe thing. In the further explanation of this verse, we see that the shaking of the hour is really nearby. Israfil, the blower of the horn, which will start Qiyamah, has always got his lips pressed ready to blow, never removing his gaze from Allah, so that when the time that he'll be ordered to blow it comes, that's how close we are to the end. Yet still we remain heedless. Considering all this, we should be actively seeking to engage ourselves with that which is beneficial to us, seeking knowledge, self-improvement, that which is befitting to the Muslim. As Hassan al-Basri puts it, O son of Adam, indeed you are nothing but some days. Whenever a day perishes, a part of you perishes, really emphasizing that the countdown towards our end has far past started. We don't know when we will perish either, which is why it is so important that we live in the here and the now and take the time and opportunities we have right now to change ourselves and start working for the Akhirah. Allah says in Surah Al-Rum, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ, that no soul knows what it will earn tomorrow, nor does it know in which land will it die. So my final reminder would just be to step back, spend time with Allah, the Prophet and the Sunnah, our family and friends, and with the best manners. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ.